What's up, folks? We are back. A couple interesting things to run through after this weekend. I'm feeling pretty good as an ex-Galaxy player in the form that they're in, but is there a problem in Seattle? I think Gordo might have something to say about that. We also got to run through the Champions Cup. A couple big games on tap for some MLS sides.
What's the toughest part about being a journeyman in a new city?
Well, Gordo, you know this as well as I do. Being a journeyman in a new city or a city that you're staying in is always difficult. The uncertainty of the future. Are you going to stay? Are you going to go somewhere else? Back in 2020 with Nashville SC, when we had a brand new team, everyone coming to a new city, there was only one person that we trusted to get our real estate needs done. And that's Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group. She made everything perfect, flawless, seamless. We had absolutely no issues getting into our house here in Nashville. And all my teammates felt the same way. You can check Erin out at majorleague-realestate.com.
Major League Journeyman back in the house, live and in person. Good to see you both. Gordo, I'm kicking it to you. Number one, you got pole position. Nobody influencing your opinions or your answers here. I'll tell you what, felt really good for me to watch the Seattle Sounders lose on the weekend to our Los Angeles Galacticos. Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. I did.
Did it fill you up? Did it take you back? Did it just fill your heart when memories of stomping on Obafemi Martin's toes or just putting Clint Dempsey in a headlock? Like, where did you go with seeing the Galaxy maybe return to some of their winning ways?
Buddy, I haven't been this happy on this Monday. On the Monday after Easter.
Monday morning quarterback.
I have not been this happy in a long time because of one reason. I get to say something that I've been wanting to say for the last 5 years.
Here it comes.
Seattle stinks.
Yeah.
They suck.
There it is.
Incredibly bad. It's so good. They're done. The dynasty
done.
Is over.
They're done.
Brady's out. Belichick is in Cleveland. It's over, dude. Like, you watch them. It was like watching paint dry.
Oh, wow.
It was fantastic.
I thought you were going to a different place. I thought you were coming at it from, which you've said a billion times, as in, I am right. And I thought that you were totally going to say that about the Galaxy actually being good. You were the only person that picked the Galaxy out of the three of us plus Wingert that maybe had a shot this year. And they are shocking the system a little bit. But they took it to the Sounders, and the Sounders stunk.
They took it right to him, dude. I mean, and you know, and my boy Painsill, he didn't even really have much to do. He didn't have to do a lot. I mean, he was pretty quiet. And his counterpart, this guy that I've kind of had questions about, Peck, he had a good game, dude. He really showed himself. I think this was his breakout game. Gets a goal. Fry should do better. I mean, with the quality of keeper that Fry has been, 9 times out of 10 he saves that. However, they really just put it on them all over the field. I mean, they were driving, and Seattle just did not have an answer. I don't know where Jordan Morris was. I mean, they have him on the wing. Didn't have a lot to do. Rusniak is in the middle. It's like they're missing pieces, dude.
Do we think things are just getting a little stale in Seattle right now?
I think they are, dude. I think it's like a...
Is that player or coach? Are we talking about Schmetzer not being able to motivate the troops, or the players need a refresh?
I like their players. The players are the same players that have been great for them. You know, so I'm not going to say Jordan Morris is a bad player or both Roldans. You know, they've done great. And Rui Diaz. But Rui Diaz, I literally did not hear his name 3 times during the entire game, which was super surprising. He's a ghost. They can't find him the ball. They have no ideas, dude. And it's like weird to see, but it's brilliant because I hate them so much, dude.
I hate them.
And to watch the Galaxy win, dude. I mean, just a great, great weekend. Yeah. Like you said, Galaxy back on top, baby. Here we go.
I don't want to make any grand proclamations because I'm not a Galactico like you guys. So I don't really care that the
you are not. You definitely don't deserve to be one.
Don't deserve to be one. That's for sure. Just like nobody knew you guys were Galacticos, you know. But I gotta say, man, I think Brian Schmetzer has been a fantastic coach in this league for a very long time. I think he still is. But like at a certain point, when you have a bunch of the same core players for a long time together, the question I think needs to be asked, does the message get stale? And I don't know if you guys have ever been in a situation where there's been a coach who's been there for a long time, and it's rare in MLS. Like let's call a spade a spade. Brian Schmetzer being in Seattle for as long as he's been there, that's very rare, right? You can count on one hand the longevity that some of these coaches have had, right? PV, Peter Vermees in Kansas City, right? Ben Olsen with his DC United days is a little bit different, right? I mean, Gary Smith is building some serious longevity in Nashville. And for me, like whenever this happens, whenever you've got a core of players and they're getting, Curtin and Philly, right? You've got a core of players and they've been together a long time. And they're so used, and like, let's be honest, Seattle is used to hitting some very, very high highs, probably some of the highest highs that this league has ever seen, right? First team to win CONCACAF Champions League, CCC, whatever you want to call it, right? And that took a massive toll on this team. If you remember, they didn't make the playoffs last year because of how much it took out of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you come into this season, and because they didn't make the playoffs, they didn't have any continental competition. So, you know, it would stand to reason that they would start the season well because of their previous success, because they had nothing else to focus on. They're struggling, man. And honestly, it shows me two things. It shows me that Joao Paulo is their most important player by far because he hasn't been fit and he hasn't been able to get back in the team. I'm not really sure what's going on with him. But it also shows to me that maybe they're losing a little bit of that like Sounders magic, that Sounders cachet that they've had for so long, where even if they weren't really playing great, they just found ways to win. Whether it was at home, whether it was on the road, you guys know as well as I do, they just had that special sauce and you can't really put your finger on what it is. But it seems to me that, yes, okay, we're early in the season, but I can see some cracks starting to form because Gordo, you're right. Jordan Morris, he hasn't started the season well. He was on fire, you know, last year, scoring goals left and right. Raul Ruy Diaz, I think Schmetzer, his biggest issue is he's struggling to find and fit the pieces together to make a cohesive attacking unit, right? They haven't scored a lot of goals. They're on the bottom of the Western Conference. Confidence has to be low right now. So I think Seattle's in a bad way right now.
Well, go ahead, Gordo.
I'll just say what I was going to mention is you're dead on with Peter Vermees, you know, but what I would question is this happen? This is going to happen to any dynasty, right? You can't win forever. You can't be great forever. Guys get older, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we talked about Peter Vermees and it seemed like his message was getting stale as well. We talked about this and I believe you were on the side to keep him, you know, to keep him because of how great he has been. And, you know, he's kind of rejuvenated his squad a little bit. But so are you saying, I mean, what do you do?
Do you know what I like about, but do you know, you bring up Peter Vermees in the Kansas City situation. Do you know what I liked about that situation was that there was so much pressure on Kansas City that ownership, if you guys remember this, ownership from Kansas City actually came out and gave Peter Vermees a vote of confidence. And they said,
They addressed it
and they said, yeah, we've started the season shit and we've missed some players and we're not playing well, but he has earned the right to stay here and to right the ship and to see us through this. And you know what? That helps. That goes a long way. So I'm not saying that Seattle needs to do that or will do that, but I'm just saying that gave me confidence to be like, all right, if they're that confident in him, they're going to get some important players back. Like,
who does that help though, Dax? Like, does that helps you from the outset understand the dynamic, right? But if you're the players that are sitting in that locker room that can't stand listening to Peter anymore or whoever,
right?
That doesn't really change a whole hell of a lot, does it?
It did. They rallied and made the playoffs.
I know you guys hate me using this, but like, he got some players back that were injured for a long time, and that changed the dynamic of the team. Now, Seattle's had kind of the same issues, but every one of their players that's been an important piece has been back and come back other than Joao Paulo. And so for me, is one player going to change the entire dynamic of a team right now? Is he going to automatically – he's not a number 10. Is he going to make them score goals? I don't think so. I think he raises their floor significantly, but – They just don't look like themselves. And full disclosure, I didn't see the Galaxy game, but hearing you guys describe it and just seeing the results that they've had, they don't have that magic right now.
I didn't see a ton of the game either. I just saw snippets of it. But I do think that there's also another element here that we probably haven't touched on. And I remember this, Gordo, you were obviously a part of it too, just with Bruce. I do think that there's everything that you guys are saying in terms of like some of the messaging needs to change and packaging that message in a different way. But I also saw something that stands out to me with the Sounders in them. And we touched on it a little bit, bringing in De La Vega and bringing in a young DP that doesn't have a position and that doesn't really have any type of, you know, quote unquote spot, because I think it causes questions to come up in the players' minds. Okay, well, where is he fitting in? And then if we're not sure about that, then where do I fit in? And then how do I understand what my role is or what my job is? It also looks a little bit like almost the way that it naturally evolves. Like there is a natural kind of cyclical cadence to some of this stuff with some of these organizations. You talked about Belichick and Brady and dynasties kind of falling off. I think that it's tough, especially with those players, when you don't refresh some of this enough, to have enough of that bite and zest every single game. Because for the Sounders specifically, like they're playing in front of 50,000 in meaningful games week in and week out. And now you're in a scenario where you've won an awful lot. You've won an awful lot over the last few years, and you're playing in a game that might not mean the same thing. And you're listening to the same guy tell you how important this game is, and it's only worth 3 points, and it's on the road, and it's sandwiched in between a CCC and a whatever, and a cup over here and this and that. And it seems like, you know, when we were going through the Galaxy in 2014, Gordo, those first few games, Bruce was still tinkering with everything. He was still moving pieces around. He really, I shouldn't say that he didn't care about the results, because that's not accurate, but there was much less of an importance placed on our position in the table in April. And it feels a lot like Seattle is in that place. Here's the difference. Seattle's never really been through this. So are they capable of digging themselves out from where they're at? And I don't know the answer. I think they've
started season slowly, but I think with the caveat that they've been in CCC and they've had other competitions that they've had to balance and manage. And that's not the case this year. So.
Well, the backup Schmetzer, which I hate to do, but I'll back him up here. I mean, he has been through lineup changes. He had Obafemi and he had Dempsey up top, which were, do you remember playing them in 2014? And that was a team, dude.
They were phenomenal.
They were phenomenal. If it wasn't for us in their way, I would argue that they win the cup, right? And we ruined their little run of them two being up front. But what I remember about those days is literally, it was eight dudes who were organized in a block of eight, and they would kick it to Dempsey and Obafemi, and they would say, freestyle.
And it was an and one mixtape, what they were doing.
It was an and one mixtape, and it was crazy, dude. So he did figure out the transition from those two beasts, you know, legends, into the team that we saw make a 4 or 5 year run.
Yeah. And I was talking more about the transition of having an extended period of success and now having. He hasn't been through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You say that he's tinkering it and figuring it out, which Bruce did. So are you saying hit the panic button or let him tinker and see what happens?
I don't think it's panic button yet, but I do think that there's a lot of stale bread around that organization right now. And I feel like you're looking at it, all what you're saying, Dax, like all these players, you're right. Pick up any one of those players, they'd be a starter across the league. Doesn't matter which organization you put them on. But the collection of the group is not there. Now, could they turn it on? Can you flip a switch when the lights are on? Absolutely, they can. But I think there's real issues. And especially going into LA, which has definitely had a resurgence. They're in a good run of form. They have some ability there. But man, you're telling me you can't score against the Galaxy's back line right now?
Yeah.
Right.
They have big attacking issues. So I'll be curious to see how, I think, yeah, I'd be curious to see how Schmetzer, how he tinkers, how he figures it out, because he's got to find ways to start manufacturing chances. And I know Nico Ladero was getting older and he was slowing down, but you got to question how big of a loss that is, not just for his on the field. And I know he was slowing down and he wasn't playing as much and he wasn't creating as many chances, but maybe that has kind of hit his loss. Maybe that's kind of reverberated throughout the locker room a little bit more than people want to let on.
Yeah. Hey, let me say one more thing. I know we got to get off of this game. Okay. We gotta move on. I wanna get your take on this. Dude, Joe Valich was about to break the all-time record and Vanny didn't start.
He said he was nursing a little injury and he
okay. I was wondering. I didn't hear the game on that, dude, but like he came on in the game.
I know.
What was the all-time record for what?
Most consecutive games to start a season.
Six. Scoring a goal. This would have been six. He's tied. He's going to stay tied with like, I forget who it was. Anyway.
That's an insignificant record to hold, especially for a guy that's in a good run of form that is not worth tweaking something if he's not ready to go.
I think it's super legit that he was kind of dealing with something because Vanny has no reason not to play him if he's fit.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why I asked that question.
He's scoring for the Galaxy, which I know we chopped him up in terms of discussion points being, is he good enough? Is he the guy? He's not delivering. Dude, Payne still takes so much pressure off him. All he needs to do is score goals and he's delivering.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dax. You watched the other Los Angeles team, LAFC, Los Angeles Football Club, go into Gordo's backyard with the Colorado Rapids and get pumped. What was your takeaway?
Which was
more significant, the Rapids getting the win or LAFC taking an L?
It was much more significant. For my dark horse Western Conference playoff team pick, the Colorado Rapids, my boy Chris Armas getting a big win. Our boy Georgi Mihailovic having a big boy performance when Gordo was saying he isn't the guy. You know,
he's not the guy,
but he's a guy that, he can be a key cog in the machine. Georgi heard that and he said, you know what, let me go ahead and take this game over here in the last 10 minutes. Because I got to be honest, I was watching the game live and I was a little worried there for a second. I was like, you lose at home to LAFC, not the worst thing in the world. But Georgi stepped up in a huge way and he had a good game. He had a good game overall. He was dangerous throughout. I think he had two goals and an assist. I mean, just a dominant display and one that you feel really good about as – we talked about how, and I, you know what, Gordo, not to crush you, but I kind of agreed with you in that. Yeah. Like Georgi is an excellent piece. Is he a centerpiece? I don't know, but he.
Dex, hold on before you move on. Cause I want you to explain this just a little bit clearer because you guys have had great interactions with Georgi in terms of on a training field and in games. Right. What makes him an A+ performer versus what makes him the guy that's a complimentary piece? Like what changes in game does he need to?
I think it's being able to take over a game. Being able to take over a game when your team needs you the most and you are the guy that steps up in big moments and does it. So
is that just confidence in going and finding the ball?
I think it's confidence. I think it's stepping up. I think it's I'm pretty sure against Seattle, when they went to Seattle and ended up getting a good result, I think they tied the game. He stepped up in a big moment and he had a penalty kick and he missed it. Right. And so, hey, you could shrink in that moment. You know, Georgi could say, hey, listen, I don't want to take any of the set pieces anymore. I don't want to be on dead balls, whatever. Right. Like he could say, OK, other guys can step up. But I think Georgi, I think he realizes the pressure that's on him with having the number 10 jersey, record transfer in for the Colorado Rapids. You know, Chris Armas is building his whole system around Georgi. I think he feels that. And I think he has the stones to say, all right, I'm going to step up and whether I play great or whether I play like shit, I want to be the guy always. And so this was a huge game because LAFC, I think a lot of people think, they're probably one of the favorites to come out of the Western Conference, at least being in a top three spot. To have a result like that for the Rapids, I think they've won a couple games here and there, right? They've played well. They haven't played great. I think a result like this is a statement win, right? No matter who LAFC doesn't have right now, a French guy named Olivier Giroud, who is rumored to be coming in. But for me, Georgi Mihailovic, he took over the game. It was great to see. Unbelievable free kick. Hugo Lloris didn't even react until the ball was already past him. And then have you guys ever seen a game-winning goal scored off of a power knee? No. Okay. That's creative. I've never seen that either. And the fact that he
actually did do one of those. Actually. Yeah. I
did. In the 20th row or what?
No, dude, I'll show you a highlight. It was Galaxy versus Orlando. I've never in my life
seen a power knee used to score a goal like that.
I'll show you a highlight.
Like right on the goal line. But it was such a funny way to score a game-winning goal. I think he didn't know how to celebrate it. But it was a good game, entertaining game. I think LAFC, to take it to the other side, I don't think there's much to worry about with them. They're going to be fine, right? Allow me to clarify.
Can I take 2 minutes and clarify in case Georgie is actually watching this?
Sure.
That is not what I said, but what I did say is true. Okay. What I did say is true. Is this, we agree. You have to earn the right to be the man, right? And I was saying it was a question. You know, he has to prove he's still young. This was a performance for him that I'm so proud to see him do. Because I'm rooting for him. I wasn't hating. All I want to say, Georgie, I wasn't hating on you. Okay? I wasn't hating on you. There's questions. There's always questions for young number 10s coming in and taking a team. It's a hard thing to do. But that free kick was phenomenal. It was at the top of the box. Those are really tough right. to keep down inside the post. So that's all I want to say, Georgie. I love you. Okay. You come to daddy when you need him. Your next mortgage. Okay.
You
come right over to daddy.
I do also want to point out that LAFC has quite the talent on their hands. This kid, Martinez, I think his name's David Martinez. I don't know. I saw
a bit of that. And I,
man, the goal he scored.
He's a different breed, huh?
He's very good. And he's
young. How old is he?
He's young. He's an 18, 19 year old kid. Mm-hmm. And
first goal, right? First MLS goal, little lefty coming inside.
Yeah. Cut inside.
The confidence and the technical ability. And
I saw the same thing, Dax. Dude, the confidence to pull that off inside the box to go after that in your first minutes in your shirt.
It makes old man.
Those are some stones.
Give you a small golf clap. And then you know you see the youth in this kid when he gets called for a foul and he's already on a yellow. And he doesn't think it's a foul and he kicks the ball away and he gets a red card. He gets sent off and you're like, no, like,
yeah.
Come on, man. Like you're having such a great game. So look, I think it's a massive result for Colorado. You know, they're comfortably on 8 points right now and well in the thick of the playoff race, but I'm happy for Georgie. I think this team is going to, you know, be a little bit up and down this year, but getting results at home against a favorite in the Western Conference, it's going to do worlds for their confidence. Quick shout out to
who's their other win. Against Salt Lake in Salt Lake.
Yeah,
they're Rocky Mountain Cup rivals.
Yeah, big win. But I wanted to give a quick shout out to our favorite journeyman, Kai Kamara, who has landed on his 11th MLS team in LAFC. He's now on the West Coast. He's posting thirst traps of him shirtless at the beach. And I love it. Keep going, Kai. You look great. But he got
some journeyman.
Great journeyman. You know, I think if LAFC is in trouble and they're losing in a game, you could do worse than throwing Kai Kamara and Olivier Giroud up top and just bombing balls forward. I don't know if that's how they want to play, but that's kind of a scary thought for center backs.
Where do you put them in?
Well, Kai is in the Dax McCarty super sub role. We all know that.
So Giroud's a starter? Guaranteed?
Is that even a question?
What? I'm saying every game Drew is a starter.
He's not a starter every game, but he's going to start majority of games. Dude, this guy, we have a couple French guys in the Atlanta United locker room. And they're like, this is the fittest. Like, I think he's 38. Dude is a fitness monster. And actually, I think people are surprised that AC Milan isn't bringing him back because he's been so good for them this year. I mean, it's going to be a massive, massive signing for LAFC. Yeah. Like one of the bigger signings of the last 10 years. So That makes him and Bawanga together is a scary thought. So yes, my boy Kai. I mean, he'll start. I think Kyle start a couple games here and there, but I think for the most part, Giroud is going to play a lot.
All right, I'm putting you on the press right here, Dax. Does the Colorado Rapids they finish in the top five in the West?
No, but they do finish in the top seven.
Top seven.
I like where they're at right now. They're in seventh. I like that. I'm keeping.
I love that for you.
I love that for me.
That for you, Colorado Rapids.
I love that for them. I love that for them. Hey, it gives them a puncher's chance, you know? And then I just wanted to quickly touch on the Atlanta United game. I don't know if you guys saw it. We played yesterday on Easter Sunday. Happy belated Easter to all our dedicated, loyal listeners. 3-0 win. I think the story for me is that we're really good at home and we're really dangerous at home. And we need to figure out ways as a team to get better on the road, which I think is a lot of teams in MLS. And I think we will do that. Shout out to Jamal Tiare, one of our strikers who has the unfortunate position of being, you know, kind of stuck behind one of the best goal scorers in the league in Giacomakis. But it was his birthday yesterday. He gets
it was his birthday. On. I didn't realize his that
birthday on Easter gets subbed on, scores two fantastic goals, which was huge for him. Great for his confidence, great for our team. And so look, it was a good win for us. I think more of the story is just kind of the same old Gordo and Gars with our old squad, the Chicago Fire. I mean, they just, I don't know how to put this, but they just,
I look, do. They stink.
They just look kind of like
stale bread.
They just talk look kind of lifeless. And I love some of the pieces that they have. I absolutely love this Brian Gutierrez kid. I think he's a stud.
He's a player.
And he didn't have his best game, but this team, it feels to me like kind of just the same old, a lot of talent. They get some great results every now and then, but there's just no real consistency. They just went and signed this striker, Kuipers, for big money. And the guy didn't have a chance against us. I don't even know if he had a shot on goal. So for me, it's just a question of chance creation. They really didn't make us uncomfortable at all. You know, Shaqiri was on the bench. I know he had international duty, but then he came in and he just didn't really change the game for him at all. I'm curious what you guys think, if you see anything from Chicago differently than what I'm seeing.
Gordo, when in your mind was the last time that the Chicago Fire were relevant in the conversation of soccer in the United States of America?
The year that Bossy came in and him and Dax were running the midfield.
Thank you.
Him and Dax were running the midfield. I played against them when Bossy just came. I believe I was on
2017.
So I was on the Rapids and I was trying to, as a forward, mark these guys in the midfield. And, you know, I don't give Dax credit enough, or I don't like to, but they were really good, man. And they had a goal scorer. That was the last time, you know, it happened.
2017, we were extremely relevant. We were in the Supporter Shield race up until the last maybe 2-3 months of the season.
But it was a flash in the pan. You know, I was there in 2018, couldn't recreate the same magic. And before that, it was 96 to 99.
99.
No? Right?
96 it's to been too long, man. And those fans have been.
I would probably disagree with you just on the Bossy Dax. Not that they didn't create some magic there, because I think you guys, I watched those games and you guys were very good, especially throughout the midfield, like really fun. We also covered that, didn't we, Gordo, in the All-Star game? Chicago had the All-Star game against Real Madrid.
Yep.
Which for me, unfortunately, because of exactly what you said in terms of them not, you know, not capitalizing on some continued success, that it didn't stick and it didn't hit home. And I feel like Bossy is a massive superstar that wasn't really able to take hold in Major League Soccer circles. Do they know who he was? Absolutely. Was Chicago Fire maybe a little bit on the map? Maybe. But realistically, like, pictures that are shown of any relevance of the Chicago Fire are of
Novak,
Bob Bradley, Peter Novak, Jesse
Razoff,
TJ Brown, Razoff. Like, that's what's relevant. And they haven't been able to do anything since. It's crazy.
I don't disagree with you, Dan. That year 2017 was a really magical season, but it was a flash in the pan. And it was unfortunate that we weren't able to capitalize more off of that. And it's unfortunate that Chicago hasn't been back to the playoffs since 2017. I mean, in a league where so many teams make the playoffs,
it's wild that
they haven't been able to is just horrific. I can't understand it. And they have a dedicated owner. That's the thing I don't understand. Joe Mansueto, he really does care. And they're building new training facilities, and all, like, they're investing a lot of money in this team. It's just really hard to figure out what's going on with that team. So we'll see.
I'll tell you what, man, it is disappointing. I'm
what
still
did you see this weekend, Gordo? Any watch any games or Gargs? What did you watch?
Yeah.
You know what? I caught a few minutes of the St. Louis City game, which I try to watch our hometown team, my hometown team at this point. And Arango took him to the cleaners. I mean, it is a couple different things. One, you know, I think City seems a little bit stale right now too. They seem like they're kind of hitting a dip, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, these teams that have gone through big years last year, then come in really early this year and played meaningful games and played, you know, had an extended season, so to speak. I mean, I remember chatting with Tim Parker and about their date that they were coming in, and I was looking at it and I was like, man, you guys are almost like a third of a season before you even play a game, that you're just going through, you know, your paces of running over here and being in Florida and over to California and Arizona. And it's a lot, as you guys know. So it does seem like it's a little slow for them right now. And they work on, you know, quick fire reactions and energy and engagement and being a unified group. And they don't look like they have it all there right now. But the other side of that coin is Salt Lake and what they have in that goal scorer, man. He's a killer, and he can finish. And putting three against St. Louis City that doesn't give up a ton of goals and doesn't give up a ton of chances, but he's a special player. And that's in order for Salt Lake to be good and Pablo to find the success that he always has talked about having a goal scorer, as every coach does, right? But he's got one, and when they're clicking, when he's on, when Arango is on, man, dude, I don't know. There's not a ton of players that I would put first choice in front of him in terms of a nine in this league.
I see my boy Adeniran didn't start.
I know, and they're going back and forth with that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think it seems like they're going through some almost some like emotional stuff right now, as in, like, you know, what we're talking about with Schmetzer, like, especially for a team that works off of all that energy, they don't feel like they have the mojo. But there's another opportunity. They got Dallas at home. So Nomar Gonzalez coming to town. I'm grabbing a coffee with him at some point. The talk about longevity, man. You guys, you and him, incredible. Finishing his career with FC Dallas, where you started yours. That'll be a good one to see.
Gordo, we live in crazy times right now. What are things looking like in the real estate market?
Oh, Dax, you know that rates are always going to be the best with Synergy One Lending, and those are always going to fluctuate. But one thing that never fluctuates, that's the service you get with Erin from Fikes Realty Group. She is the number one agent I will refer all my clients to. She handles all the obstacles up front, really takes the stress out of any transaction and move that you have. Check out my girl, Erin Mishu with Fikes Realty Group at majorleague-realestate.com.
I also want to take a quick preview, quick run through the Champions Cup. So Dax, let's start with you. Tigres at Columbus. This is what the heavyweights, right? I mean, this is our matchup. And Cucho suspended, coach's decision. Big deal, not a big deal, gonna happen, won't happen. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I want to say it's not a big deal because Wilfred Nancy didn't come out and explicitly say he was suspended, but he wasn't on the bench against Nashville, which means obviously he didn't play. And, you know, he was pretty coy talking about if he was going to play or not in this game against Tigres at home. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to sugarcoat my thoughts on Cucho. He is a top three player in MLS at the moment right now, if not the best player in the league. So let me rephrase that. One of the most important players in the league based on how Columbus plays and based on what he does for that team, because he is, quite frankly, a perfect modern striker for Nancy's system. So if he's not playing, and look, I was able to watch a little bit of the Nashville Columbus game, and this goes into it. If he's not playing, it's a different team. They don't create chances at the same clip that they do normally. They still are a wonderful team in possession. But Cucho has that dynamic ability to unbalance a back line like very few players in the league. He can pop up in different spots. And to me, Diego Rossi doesn't look like the same player when Cucho's not on the field. Yeah. So if Cucho plays, Columbus wins this game. I think they beat Tigres and they take a very favorable result back to Mexico. If Cucho doesn't play, I don't see Columbus winning this game. I see them maybe having a goal scoring draw, but he's just, for me, he's that important. And with Columbus having played two, three days ago, and you know, they're dealing with a couple injuries and they didn't rotate very much. You still had Darlington Nagbe and Aiden Morris go 90. You had Zawadzki, I think, came off with a concussion, and he's kind of been their Swiss Army knife utility guy. Camacho didn't play against Nashville. You know, Christian Ramirez has an injury. Matan has an injury. Columbus is banged up right now. And so if you're not playing Cucho in this game, I think you're spotting Tigres a very good result. And you can't do that going back to Mexico. So Cucho plays, they win. If he doesn't play, I don't think they win. I think they draw.
Gordo, second game is Inter-Miami, Monterrey at Miami. Two teams, neither one's really in like great form by their standards, probably by our standards as well. Messi, do we think we see him?
I mean, he played this weekend, right?
He was out.
No, he was out.
Still dealing with a hand.
I think everyone maybe thought he was going to play a few minutes, but wasn't out there.
Well, I mean, I could throw up everything that Dax just said about Messi. You know, it's the same exact thing. If he plays, obviously they got a chance. You know, and I think they can come out with the result. I mean, Messi's shown that. I mean, in the League's Cup last year, he diced up every Mexican team that he saw and everybody else. He scored 10 goals in 8 games, something like that. Right?
Well, here's the difference, Gordo. Let me just tell you the difference, and then I also want your opinion on this. Cucho's is discipline-related. It's not injury-related, right? So if Cucho plays, he's 100% fit. You know you're good. Messi's not fit. So so even if he plays, is he going to play from the start, or is he going to be still nursing something? He's not 100% fit. So do you risk him from the start, A, if he's healthy? B, if he's not fully fit, do you wait till the second leg down in Mexico so you know for sure he can play from the start? That's my question.
Well, I think it's a no-brainer. I don't think Tata is that desperate to play him if he's got a hammy. So if he's got anything lingering, I think he'll allow them the time. I think Messi, knowing this type of competitor and this type of person that he is, I think he's given himself enough by not playing this last week. And I think he's probably just had a little tweak. He's probably going to be feeling better. I think he plays, and I think they get a result.
At home.
At home. Yeah.
I don't think he plays. I don't think he plays in the first leg. He could, maybe he's on the bench, but I don't think he plays in the first leg. And I think he goes down to Mexico. I think he's fit by the time they get down to Mexico. And I think it'll be an electric game down in Mexico, because you know how intense those games are down there. And Miami presumably is going to need a result and a win. And I'll be, you know how those games get, man.
Does Miami go through? Yes or no?
No.
No.
Neither?
No.
Nope.
You guys are dummies.
We kind of are, dude.
Have you not learned anything about betting against Miami?
I know.
For some reason, being called a dummy, it's so childish, but it really hurt me.
You know how many times Bruce called me a dummy?
It doesn't hurt me.
Hey, from now on, when you call us dummies, can you please say it in Bruce's voice?
Oh, you dummies. He used to kill us with that. And you're right. It does cut. It cuts through right to your heart.
Really hurt. But no, I think Monterrey is not in great form, but we played them in Leagues Cup last year, and we had our best performance, I think, ever as a club against them. And they are really, really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the States.
That was in the States. So now over
that
two
was in the States.
If Messi isn't fully fit, if he doesn't play down in Miami, I don't see any way how Miami over two legs without a fully fit Messi can get by Monterrey. I just don't think it's going to happen.
So do you think that they can hold them to a result at home without Messi?
For sure.
And so that gives Messi what, another 10 days to get fit before he has to play?
I think it gives him a week, but I just don't think it's going to be enough. I think if Messi plays down in Mexico, it's going to be obviously a spectacle and he'll put on a show, but I don't think it'll be enough.
Hmm. And Gordo, you're saying no as well.
I don't know. I just
say what Dak said.
I'm a dummy.
You are.
I'm a self-proclaimed dummy, and it doesn't hurt me. I'm betting against Messi, and I tell myself every time. How many times have I said it? Why do I do it? Why do I do it? But I just love to do it.
We are again, Gordo, not learning from his mistakes. Man, I could have days-long conversations with your wife about this.
So, just for clarity's sake, you're taking Miami to go through against Monterey.
Straddling the fence.
I'm taking Miami. And I agree with what you're saying, Dax. I think Monterey is a very, very complete team. But if there's a time to catch Monterey, it's right now. They're not in a great run, and they are coming into the spectacle of Miami and Messi. Whether Messi's on the field or not, it's still a spectacle. And I think that they're going to struggle with that. And I think Messi will be on the field for the game in Mexico. So I'm taking them. The third and final MLS team that is in this Champions Cup, New England Revolution, Dax, I'm just going to throw it out there. Are New England in trouble? Yes. I know it's early. I know we talked about Seattle Sounders giving them a hard pass maybe or not kind of evaluating them at the moment because it is April 1st and it's still really early. But New England is – Well, I wouldn't take them to advance out of this matchup against Club America. And they also have yet to win a game in the league. So your eggs are in basket number one, the Champions Cup, and they're also struggling in form in the league. And I don't think that the league is in the same place as it was previously where you can afford yourself a massive runway to get back into the picture. How significant is the trouble that New England is in?
Big. I think it's extremely significant. And I say that because New England is the team for me that the CCC has been a great competition for them to advance in. And they've had some big wins. They've had some wins against teams that they should beat. So you would think it would give them confidence. But New England hasn't been able to parlay those wins in CCC into any good results in the league. And so they're in trouble. Like they're in real trouble in MLS play because now you have another 2 weeks where you have to play your starters against Club America, who, by the way, they're going to lose. They're not going to advance in this series. So that's 2 more weeks where you're going to have to either run your starters into the ground and run your best players into the ground until they're dead after the in the next 2 weeks, or you play them against Club America and you hope to get a decent result at home to then have to go down to Mexico and pray and hope you get a good result there to then have to face another massive team, either Mexican team or Messi or Columbus. I'm not sure how the bracket shakes out. But this, for me, is a no-win situation for New England because let's just say by some miracle they do get through Club America. It's still going to affect their league form, and they're not going to win this competition. They're just not. There are ways that I can see Columbus winning this competition. There are ways that I see Miami winning this competition. I'm referring to CCC. Mm-hmm. I don't see under any circumstances how New England has a chance to win CCC. And so they're just going to keep running their starters out there and they're going to have to rotate in the league. And I'm just not sure if they continue digging a hole in MLS play, if they're going to have enough time to get out of it. So I think they have talent. I still believe Carlos Hill is one of the best players in the league. But I have question marks up top for them again with Veroni and Bobby Woods not fit. They don't have a killer in front of goal, and that's showing itself. They cannot score again. And so I think this is a lose-lose situation for this team.
Gordo, it's early.
It's early.
Is Caleb Porter on the hot seat?
No. No.
No?
He's not on the hot seat. He's not on the hot seat.
You think he's feeling anything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know how those runs are where you can't win a game. I mean, he's stressed for sure. But why can't he be tinkering? Why is he not tinkering?
Because he's a new coach.
Well, so what? He's got new players. These aren't his players, right? He can always default on that. He's adopted a team that was there before he was there. He needs time. He needs time to get his right pieces in and tinker around. He's a what?
Tinker.
And he's a two-time MLS winner, right? I mean, let's go. Listen, yeah. Is Caleb Porter my favorite person in the world? The way he looks on the sidelines? No. But is he proven? Yes, he's proven. He's a proven coach. He's proven that he can establish and develop a team into a championship team. As his results, they've lost to some of the worst teams in the league. I guess they've lost to Colorado, but I guess Colorado's at the top. They've lost to Orlando. Orlando is in bad form. They've lost to, they lost 3-0 to Red Bull. You can go on and on, right? But you know, nobody ever wins a championship in April, ever. Mm-hmm. Just talked about Bruce Arena and getting hot at the right time. I think they have.
You're giving yourself a significant hole to dig out of.
Yeah.
Well, you are. And I agree with Garks. I agree. It's not the same league where you can do that. I agree with it wholeheartedly, but I do believe that they still have the pieces to be a good team. And so I'm going to rest my morals and I'm going to rest my thought process on that. They have the pieces. They have a coach who's proven he can win in this league. So I'm going to give him a pass. I think that, you know, every single game is a game that you start your run, right? And teams in this league this is what this league is about. It's about going on little runs. And I think they're going to be fine. I still see them making the playoffs. I still see them having a good team. I think they're going to be just fine. So I'm going to give them a pass on this.
Dax, I know that there's a lot of variables here to consider, and I don't want you to tie yourself in pretzels here thinking about this question, but I want you to answer this. If you're a GM, where is your first evaluation period with a new coach? At what point in the season are you considering if you made the right decision or if you need to start to look for an adjustment?
I think GMs probably look at it after 6-7 months. If it's me, I'm giving the guy 18 months. Like, I just don't think it's fair to judge a coach in a new environment with a new team with players that he didn't handpick after whatever, 5-6 months. I mean, I think that's probably what's going to happen. And to be completely fair, I agree with Gargs 100%. I don't think he's on the hot seat at all. I think he's got plenty of time because he is dealing with CCC. And so the mandate has probably been, let's focus and prioritize CCC. Let's go for it. Let's try to win it. And then look, if it hurts us in the league, it hurts us in the league. We're not going to do anything drastic or crazy. I think New England will improve 100%, but I do think they're in trouble. And I disagree with Gordo. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because the hole is going to be too big to get out of. But no, I think 18 months, you judge Caleb Porter. After 18 months, you give him 2 transfer windows to get some new players in, to get some players that he wants in. Maybe he doesn't have the pieces that he needs. Again, fully on board with the fact that, like, I just don't see them having a number 9 that's able to complement the midfield pieces that they have. And they've got some really good midfield pieces. Gil and Sean Kalai are very good players, very creative players who, yep. Let's be honest, they're the ones that are scoring the majority of goals for them, right? And Veroni, I think, is serviceable, but I haven't seen it with him in terms of him being the go-to guy. So I think 18 months, give Caleb Porter 18 months, reevaluate after that. Cause I don't think there's any use in looking at the results right now in a vacuum. I think he deserves a little bit more time.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
So he agrees with me. You just say what Gordo said.
Just what Gordo said.
You know, I would say that, Gordo, but I like to say it more eloquently than you.
Okay? You do.
I like to use bigger words.
Okay. And people's names, which I can never do.
Yeah.
I refuse.
All right, gentlemen. I think that's enough for today. You guys both were A-. Something to aspire to for next week. We'll see how
Cash is A+.